Hello, everyone. Hi, Darian.
Hello, Eloise, and all our little podcast listeners, or giant podcast listeners, or whatever you want to call
giants.
Them.
I don't know what they are. Yeah.
They could be. So we're going to do a little talk on, you know, some of the ways to understand tarot, because you come in and you got this massive deck. And
you know, feels really overwhelming.
What's that?
It always feels really overwhelming. There are so many cards.
There are a lot of cards and a lot of cards to learn, and you can go through each one and learn their positive and negative attributes. You can memorize it all, but my sense, and I'm sure other readers out there would say the same thing, that's not enough. I mean, once you know what the card means, does not necessarily mean you can read. That harkens back to, you know, when I was a tarot reader in the public, I'd get millions of calls a day. And then when, you know, online free sessions began, or free readings, you could just plug in your name and, you know, get a free reading. The cards would flip up and they'd give you the meaning. And people would say to me, well, because it's free online, you should give it to me for free.
Yeah.
So I would just answer, please just go online. I mean, it's free online. Just go. I'm not doing that for free. No, you can't come into my office, use my facilities and, you know, do all of this, touch my cards and ruin them as people do. And get a free reading. No, you have to pay for my time and my space and my electricity. And no, it's not free. So please do. I invite you to go online and get a free reading. And quite often they would go, oh, right, good idea. I'm like, good idea. And it's, yes, it is a good idea. So they would go and, you know, get their reading online, and I'd get a call back. And they say, oh, I did it. I did what you said. I went online and I got my free reading and I don't understand it. Right? So, you know, the reading comes up, and oftentimes we feel like the single cards are cryptic. So, yeah, sure. Each individual card can be very cryptic, and you don't know, oh, is it negative? Is it positive? Which way do I read this? How do I figure it out? Well, that's the expertise, right? So, you know, one of the ways I've been teaching tarot is, first of all, to be able to incorporate the cards into a story. And that becomes a mnemonic device, and then you can then, you know, use whatever other cards come up. So we have particular stories for the suits. We have particular, you know, interactions and interrelationships between the court cards. And we have a different kind of story and interaction of the major arcana. There are actually periods in life where certain things occur. There are aspects that delineate what life is about. We don't necessarily have the death card in the minor arcana, but in the major you have the death card, and you could read that literally if you like, but I find that very lacking in dimension and depth. There's death does mean transformation. So in as much, you know, what kind of transformation is the card indicating? So this is the interaction with your other cards. So it does become very, very complex. But to begin with, we start with particular stories. Now, throughout our podcasts, I've told a few stories. And, you know, one of the difficulties I've found with students is if I tell a story, instead of looking at the meaning of the story, they would look literally. So, for example, Pinocchio is a wooden boy, right? He begins as a wooden boy. And if you understand the whole story, you understand that this is the process of growing up and all the, you know, naive things we do until we take responsibility for ourselves and life and so forth. I'm not going to do the whole story. There's so much depth to Pinocchio, the dangers of childhood, right? Those temptations and learning, you know, that you can't be tempted. I hope that, you know, some of you who know the tarot, when I say temptation, not being tempted, there you go. There's your devil. He's going to always tempt us, making a deal with the devil. You know, it's
easy
and almost too good to be true. Usually is. That's just the way it is. Just usually is too good to be true. It usually means we've tried to forego the difficulties it takes to, you know, do something. And when I say difficulties, I don't mean it's not fun. You know, just because we have, and I'm not talking about really life-threatening or, you know, terrible things like that, but let's say you're learning the tarot. It's difficult. Sure, it's difficult. I've tried to
simple as possible, but
it's still difficult. It's still a difficult journey. So you have to put in the work. But there are ways to enrich your ability to memorize what the cards mean and understand them. Like, you know, I mentioned last week that, you know, sometimes
aces.
So each ace is a different aspect of our lives when it comes to a new beginning.
Yeah.
Starts of something, they're all different depending on what suit. Like you could have a new idea or many new ideas, right? New opportunities can come up from what you're thinking. But the Ace of Coins would mean I'm actually starting new things. It could be, you know, oftentimes when the Ace of Coin comes up, somebody's, you know, starting a business, getting into a relationship or shifting jobs, or it all happens at the same time.
Mm.
It's so interesting that comes up quite often. And of course, all four of them mean different things. And when you have the stories of our lives, because we often agglomerate all of the events in our lives into one little thing, usually based on our insecurities, and we just think that we're supposed to be a certain way, and we ignore that life is going on and that we have to go through these processes. So even I'm learning tarot, it's fun, it's playful, but always in play, we will have work. You know, that is something people often forget. Watching kids play, they often work really hard. They're sweating to get up on a tree. I don't know if kids climb trees anymore or even allowed to.
Yeah, they do.
But in the old days, we used to climb trees. And, well, you know, all the jungle gyms and all these things are gone, yeah. Right? So I don't see many kids outdoors doing anything. So, you know, everything's so controlled. And especially during this period of COVID, there's just nobody outside. So yeah, they work really hard. Even building a fort with a bunch of pillows, you know, a really tiny child will look at you and go, no, don't help me with the pillow. They want to carry it. That's heavy duty work to create the fort and figure it out and try to get it to stand up and, you know, be able to maneuver the pillows. And they're usually hot and sweaty. You know, all the times I've seen little kids building a fort, they're all just like sweating and their hair is matted to their heads. So, and for them, it's all play. We often think of play as just fun, but it's not necessarily just fun.
Yeah. And we're talking about the other way around as well, because like when we're working, if we try and see what's fun in that as well, it can make it feel less work-like.
Or we just see the whole thing as play.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of you know, one of the philosophies, you know, the Sanskrit term Leela, it's just one big cosmic joke, and here we are, or Shakespeare, all the world's a stage, and we're just players upon it, so we're just in a play. Yeah. And for me, doing tarot has always been, well, what part of the play are you in, and which play? You know, are you in the play of, you're in a period of your life where you're resentful?
Mm.
Is that where you are? And that happens very often. There are different, you know, the themes that I would say come up are love, obviously, career, obviously.
Mm.
But what's really going on? I mean, it's not, okay, here's my money, here's my career, here's my relationship, here's, I don't know what's going on, but that's not, that's sort of the background, maybe, you know, but the play, the way we're dealing with something, and you can sit with a bunch of people and see which character everyone takes on. There's the one who, you know, totally off in left field and doesn't really engage and sort of comes in that very, strange way. We often call that person strange, and they'll come in and they'll start talking and it doesn't relate to what anyone's talking about, and they'll go on and on. I find this happens with a lot of people, going on and on about details that are unnecessary.
Yeah.
Have you, do you know what I mean?
It's like irrelevant, like information.
Almost like there's a lack of understanding that those things aren't required, those details, like every single little, let's say I'm, you know, I want to tell you what I'm doing, but I tell you, well, then I got up and I walked over to the door and I opened the door and I moved to the left and I opened the next door. The handle was a bit jiggly. I really need to go and repair that.
Yeah.
But I didn't that day. And I opened the door, you know, meanwhile, you know, sometimes it's just, I was opening the door for the postman, but they'll tell you all of these.
Yeah, I have friends that tell me stories like that, and they're really good storytellers, but I do sit there after 10 minutes going, where's the point? You know, just telling me all of this background stuff, and it's like, it's not relevant. It's amazing.
Relevant.
Yeah.
The strange parts, it's like they've drifted off. So there's that character. I see that character in a few places. I've got quite a few people who are that character. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I mean, I don't really care if that's how they do it, but you know it's that character. Then you have the character that is the drama queen. Everything's a drama. You know, I was looking for parking and it's a drama, and I was, you know, I couldn't get into the space and it was a drama, and they dramatize every little event. There's that character. These are more in my life, like noticing those characters. I like watching them, you know, it's like, oh, there's that. It's just, but in tarot, which what I was bringing up, I find thematically there's the vengeful and resentful character that will often come for readings. You know, when I was working in the public, they're trying to get a reading to prove that their vengeance and will work. They do believe that it's justice, but usually it's a lot of resentment towards the other.
Hmm.
Like, you know, oftentimes people will come to, you know, say, well, this is my situation. And it's really interesting because each of us see our, there's a big drama to set the focus, and that we are right. We're the ones who are justified. I've never met anyone ever, this is an interesting one, that has come in for reading to say, who has caused the problem? I hope I lose this court case.
That's never going to happen.
great, you know, great phrase, Eloise. That's never going to happen. I always leave things open for possibility. I always leave things open because you never know in life. But I would actually agree with you that that's likely never going to happen, that somebody is hoping they will lose because they have done the other harm. You know, I think both sides think they're just, and of course we create these huge stories about it, and we're certain we've got it right. So this is another kind of character who always feels as though they're the victim, and the other people are, you know, ganging up on them. And I understand why they feel that way, because immediately you can feel that energy and see it in the cards that they need to shift, because their attitude and beliefs about life,
people would
try to run away from, might, if too much, like, if I can't do that because I'm, you know, not feeling well. Oh, I can't do this because it's too difficult. I can't do that because, you know, I'm not qualified to do that, and that's not what I signed. And you just keep hearing that over and over again. Well, they're going to get a backlash.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like the one who whines the most might get ahead. Like they often say that narcissists end up in high positions because nobody will challenge them. Right?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, for example, if Donald Trump is a narcissist, you can't diagnose someone from far, but it's been said, maybe he's a narcissist. And if he is, well, look where he got, right? I often say, you know, as an intuitive, I don't know about you, Eloise, I'm very glass half full approach to life. I very often look at the positive. People even tell me that very often. But there are times when, bang on, I notice someone and I go, oh, they're an awful person. And everyone will say, no, they're not. Don't talk like that about this person. They're really wonderful. They did this for me and that for me.
Okay, oh, I'm really sorry.
I must be wrong. My intuition must be off. But guaranteed 6 months to a year later, I've never had a moment where they don't call me and say, how did you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's quite obvious, but for some reason you're not willing to, well, I shouldn't say willing, for some reason.
You don't have that awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. The veneer is what you saw, but you don't see the manipulation behind it. Mm. So, and those people often complain. You know, they often complain that they are, you know, marginalized or whatever. And they're very annoying. Very, very annoying. Very annoying. And I find that the most... Now, this is fascinating to me. I've got quite a few thoughts in my head of a few people I know whose energy, words, the way they speak are so aggressive. And people pull away from them. And usually these three people I'm thinking of right now actually have pressed charges against their company, saying that the company is bullying them. And when I was working individually with them, I just felt like, you're bullying me right now. And I think people might not. It's too difficult, because if you say anything to a person like that, they're going to jump on you again.
Yeah.
And again, and there's no way to get through. And they can't see that they're bullying you. They can't see their abusive words and their abusive energy. And they just can't see it. They just think everyone else is doing it. So the moment you touch on it and say, well, wait a minute, you're acting very violent right now. You're not listening. They will just lash out and say, no, you're not understanding me. And you're not. It's fascinating to me. As those are very extreme examples, of course. So that is often a theme to varying degrees. Resentment, lack of responsibility is a theme. So I'm not responsible for looking at myself. It's you, you, you. That's a huge thing. Huge thing. You know, in the 90s, 1995 to 2007, I think, or 2005, 2000. I worked for 9 years there, so it had to be 2005. I was working in a shop, and you just would put down the reading without even having this person speak. Of course, I'm an intuitive, so I picked it up before, but I would just put down the reading and see. And right away, you knew this is somebody who's resentful and not taking responsibility. So the underlying theme was they never took responsibility. And the overlaying theme is resentment. Very difficult. If somebody won't take responsibility, and now they're resentful and they think everyone else is at fault, it's almost like waiting for the hammer to drop before they accuse you of being the problem. And to me, as soon as somebody is accusing someone of being a problem, rather than sitting down and going, okay, we're doing this work together and you need to do this and I need to do that, fine. You know, you're just deciding what to do. But if you're going to criticize the other person, not critique, criticize, very different words, eh?
Yeah.
Right? To critique is like, okay, this is, you have a sentence and it's not written properly, can't understand it. Okay, that's a critique. And that's fine. Let's
up, and you can fix it.
Here in Montreal, somebody was I'm not going to mention the company, but working at this company, and they had come from it's the international company, and they've worked in different places in the world, but they arrived here, and they're a friend of mine, and said that this person is like super gentle. Like, oh my God, so gentle, so friendly, so kind, you know, just a total, total sweetheart. And he was taken to HR for the way he spoke to employees. So here you're not even allowed to say you did this wrong. Please go and correct it.
Mm.
You can't even say that. There's a whole like protocol to getting someone to correct their work, but you can't say they did it incorrectly. So I'm like, wow, you know, this has permeated the culture.
Mm.
So to me, it's no surprise that would come up in readings as a theme. So now if it comes to love, there are other themes. Like love could be, I want the other. So let's say that the female is looking for a male. I want the other. And you could extrapolate with this to all feminine. So even if it's a man that is more feminine, that the idea is that the other should fulfill my script. So those are expectations. So there are themes of expectations rather than here's life. This is what's happening. This is what I'm doing. Let me just get it together. And that's another theme. I should actually relate it to stories, right? So resentment is Cain and Abel. Blame is Adam and Eve. They immediately blame, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent, right? And God, casts them out because you could come up with many reasons for why. But in my mind at this point in time in my life, I'm like, oh, my God, we were cast out because we blamed. And you see it every day. If I blame somebody else, I'm cast out of my own garden. So life is going on really nicely. And then I blame someone else for my bad day, or I blame someone else for what's going on with me, for my feelings and my emotions. Then I'm no longer in my own Garden of Eden if I think it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be blaming oneself. That's tragic as well.
Yeah.
To this tragedy. That there's just so many beautiful themes out there. As I brought up Pinocchio, that's where we, that Pinocchio is a lot. I mean, it's got a lot in it, but a lot about the individuation process, coming to autonomy and responsibility, right? So you can become a real boy. And one of, you know, the difficulty with using, you know, fairy tales and you can try this at home, is read a fairy tale and just start to see if you could tell a story with your cards, using the meanings that are in the cards. So Pinocchio, oftentimes people are looking through all the court cards and, you know, all these different things. I'm just going to give you a hint on this, trying to find a wooden boy, right? They're like, no, it's not looking for a wooden boy. It's understanding the concept that we're all wooden until we become real. And it happens over and over through our lives that we can go back to being wooden and constantly lying. And some of the foundations of that are blame, victim, resentment, and making bargains with the devil, which is what Pinocchio does, right? He's told by Geppetto, and talk to those guys, but he does, and he goes off and he goes to the donkey farm, etc. So we do that over and over again. You know, I'm always surprised when a 40-year-old still comes in, oh, I have this really great opportunity, and you know, I really think this is gonna work out for me. You know, if I just invest this, then this is gonna happen. And I'm like, well, no, it's not that simple. I mean, it could happen like a surprise, but if I put out the cards and it says it's not going to happen, well, you got a lot of work to do. And usually they'll ignore me. So I've told these stories quite often, which, you know, I'll just tell these stories and then we'll kind of stop here. But, you know, when I was going into business with my brother-in-law, many, many years ago, we started a business, and so many people who had never run a business or been in a business. I was running a business before that for about 10 years and, you know, went into a new one, brand new. I created the whole concept of, you know, having natural cleaning products and bringing those to people to refill their containers so we wouldn't have plastic containers. So I conceived of this in 1981 and started to manifest it in 1992. And, you know, that was really a huge period of time where we increased more packaging. So before 1980s, we didn't have so much packaging. Like, we didn't have all these styrofoam and plastic things around our stuff. We didn't have any of that. And I used to be the one who would get to the cash with my head of broccoli and stick it on the conveyor belt. And the, you know, I actually had a girl yell at me, look what you've done to my conveyor belt. You've put water on it and it's all dirty and da da da. You have to use a bag. And of course I was a little bit rebellious. I don't want to use a bag. And and then so I started this company. And we started refilling products. Well, you know, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted eco-friendly products. Nobody wanted, you know, what are you talking about? No packaging. I'm like, don't you want to save the environment? You don't have to, you know, but I recycle. I do. Yes, you do recycle, but they're still produced. And there's still a lot of mess. And there's enough plastic in the world to deal with things. Of course, plastic skyrocketed. You know, keeps going. It's like we're so hypocritical, right? We say we want all these things, but then we won't actually do anything. So they would say things like, I'm going to advertise a product now, but I want Tide. It's like, why do you want Tide when this is way more economical and it works just the same? It's soap. Anyway, so so yeah, it was very interesting. So I had done all of that, which was a whole new concept in developing it, and I had to develop a lot of things. And the other two people that I knew at the time, we were all starting at the same time. And both of them were telling me how it and when I was listening to them, I was incorporating it. I was just trying to think, is that okay? They never asked me a question, even though I had been in business for 10 years. They were just telling me I did it wrong. Never asked me what they needed to do or anything like that. I wasn't asking them either. They were just giving me free advice. So, you know, one was telling me, you gotta go online. And I was like, well, okay, but online, we can create a presence, but that's not going to work now. And of course, I was asking my cards as well. It wouldn't work. It was just the beginning. It's the market of people that had to be at that point delivered by hand wasn't viable. So I said, okay, we'll create an online presence, but at the moment we need to get it off the ground, and then we could start creating this presence. You know, I mean, websites in 1992, you know, it's a whole other ball game, right?
Yeah.
All right. So there was one thing. And then the other one said, oh, we're going to regenerate this place. And I was just looking at it like, why would they regenerate? You want to create more business, but it doesn't seem viable. They could create more business. People aren't going to come from miles away. This is a neighborhood place. And, you know, people that don't they think they need to work it a little bit to see what needs to be taken? Now, what was really interesting, both of them went out of business.
Both
of them. The company I started still exists. It has modified and transformed over the years, but it's still going on. So we're in 2021 from 1992. Mm. So, you know, it has changed over the years because people don't care about refilling things. It's really, you know, there's going to be more and more popping up that way, I'm sure. Seen a few.
Loads here. Yeah.
But at the time, it wasn't really working, so it modified. But, you know, the idea that, you know, you're going to have something in your head that needs to manifest, and you think it's just going to manifest that way, and if I just do this, that, and the other thing, it's going to work, when it's really a living organism, yeah, kind of like our homes, like a home is a living organism, it always... You know, it surprises me when people say, oh, you know, my house is doing this. I wonder why this is that. Well, did you seal your windows? Did you do your brick pointing? You know, little things. I knew this before, you know, I met my husband. He's a home inspector. And I'm like, wow, I learned all of this when I was a kid from my grandma. You know, what you're supposed to do to take care of the house on a daily basis. Especially seasonally, right? But now I see people, they don't know how to take care of their homes. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand that the home is a living organism. So, you know, when something goes wrong, they go back to the previous owner and say it was a hidden defect. And it's like, well, but how do you know 10 years later if it was a hidden defect? 10 years, your things are gonna wear out. You know, things are going to go funky. You're going to get mold. Like, and they're winning their cases here. And I think this is just tragic. And also, you know, using my cards and my intuition. The law is in their favor because it's the law. But not actually getting up, as we were talking about before, to say, what's my responsibility in this? You know, and you could say, well, you know, it's my right to sue. And if I win, that's great. But, you know, also, how is that impacting society? So there's a whole other theme, right? We look at society and say, a society and government, we say it's the government. So, no, it's us. Mm. You know, I think it's immoral, even though it's the law. The law is not moral. It's the law, but it doesn't mean it's moral. Mm. So when I follow the law, but I know it's immoral, I've made a deal with the devil. So there's another huge theme. I hope the story's helping you out, but it's really important, the stories in our lives, you know, how we deal with them, how we carry things out. You know, if you think something's going to work out, because you have a plan on how it's going to work out. Oh, by the way, the friend here, one of the friends who closed his company at the end of that particular year, he actually called me up and said, it impresses me that you created a whole new concept that does not exist. And you went out and you made it work. And he said, that is insurmountable. But even that you made business work, I just admire you so much because I just have no idea how you did it. He said, can you give me one secret? And I said, the secret is you get up and go to work every day.
Yeah.
At the time, I think I was a little bit naive because I get up and go to work every day, but I don't have an idea of how it's going to work. I'm exploring. It's kind of all like all the aces in the tarot, exploring where is it going to work? Mm. How is it going to work? Right? Because you can't just say, I want to sell something to people and they don't want it.
Yeah.
Like if they don't want it, you're not going to do well.
Yeah.
So they need to want it. So you're exploring to see whether they want it. I mean, I was blown away that, you know, so many people were screaming about the environment. And when I got to their doorsteps, they're like, I don't want it.
It's like, what? Yeah.
What? So you recycle, you separate. You know, I still laugh at I'm saying this online, oh boy, but everyone sits and sorts out their garbage and sorts out their composting and sorts all this out like they're going to save. I'm doing my part. And that experience for me just made it all baloney. I just don't buy any of it. You're just doing it to assuage your guilt.
Mm.
Now, legally, if I have to do it, I do it. But you know, my husband always says, you threw this in here. It doesn't belong in here. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I spent years and years doing my part. I did my part. I did all my, you know, taking care of things, trying to, you know, leave stores without getting, you know, the packaging and leaving the packaging at the store and, you know, rallying around. And now I'm older, my body doesn't work. I cannot do all of these things that are expected of me. And I just don't buy it. There's no evidence really that, you know, we have some evidence that they're not really doing anything with it.
Yeah, there's definitely been cases here where the rubbish collectors have said that they're just putting the recycling in the landfill. So
exactly.
It's like, great, we're spending all this time and effort separating it all, taking it to the right bins, da, 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 and you're putting it in the bin anyway.
Yeah, and if that's just to give more work to employees so they get paid more and we get taxed more so they get paid more, okie dokie, I'm fine with that.
Picking the box, we're doing the recycling. No, you're not.
No, I'm fine with that. I'm like, if they're lying about how they're giving the money to people, it's fine. That's the whole thematic aspect of life, isn't it?
Mm.
That we're lying, that we're we think that something is happening that isn't actually happening if you look at the evidence. And you know, if I'm incapable of carrying things because I have the spinal issues, and I'm incapable of doing things, I'll if I have to, I'll pay somebody to do it. Because I can't do it.
Yeah.
But there's just no evidence that this is actually occurring. So, okay, well then, why should I be putting myself out for something that's not actually working? Mm. And the, you know, I just, of course, you know, it's not that severe. I don't really care one way or the other. I take care of the garbage. I'm just exaggerating for effect right now. But the whole idea of what our themes are, that also can be part of it and how it reflects on on society, how it reflects on our taxes. You know, oh, the government. No, it's you. And I think tarot, we've gone really complex now, but but it's just so interesting to me that I can do a tarot reading for a particular individual and it shows me exactly, you know, what's going on in society. And that also means that all the fairy tales and the mythologies, they are all representative of the trials we go through. You know, I listen to people and they'll say, oh, the Bible is about God and who wrote it and what legitimizes this. I'm like, well, did you read the story? Did you read any story? And yeah, I haven't read the whole Bible. I did many years ago, but, you know, I need to go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and I'm still stuck on Adam and Eve and and Cain and Abel. That does encompass everything that I see on a daily basis. So Adam and Eve blaming and Cain and Abel, Cain being resentful, not taking God's criticism. Dude, you got to do better. Which is the story I told of the situation sometimes here with employees. You can't tell them to do better. You can't tell them to correct the typing. Where are we going to go if this occurs? If we can never be corrected, you never correct a child. I think I've told the story before that, you know, my nephews wanted to have a concert for me. They were little tots, you know, and I had bought the littlest one, he must have been five, drum set. And the eldest one's on his guitar. Now, the eldest was writing songs at the time. Let's say he was six or seven. You know, he's writing out these songs. And they were really great lyrics. Unbelievable for a little seven-year-old. Even for a 20-year-old. Even for me, they were like, how did he do this? That's pretty incredible. But they're sitting on their instruments and they're, you know, making noise. So I listened for half an hour to 45 minutes and finally my head was about to explode. And I said, okay, guys, you got to stop now. And they said, how did we do? And I said, well, you're the best of people who can't play. And the little one gets up and says, I hate you. And the big one, so there's, you know, Cain. You can see it everywhere. I see it all the time. So the little one's acting like Cain. Now I'm pissed off that you did this. And then the eldest is acting like Abel. You know, coming in and going, what? What do you mean I can't play? They're like, well, you're making noise. So, and then he asked how to. I've told this story before, but I think it bears repeating. That he went off and I showed him on YouTube some videos that they have little courses. You can take a class. I'll pay for a class. And he learned how to play the guitar just on YouTube. Like,
yeah. No,
what would you rather be? The person who's like resentful because my aunt told me I can't play the drums and now I'll never play the drums and poor me and whine. Or would we prefer to go, oh, somebody just gave me a good critique and I need to go off and take care of it. You know, figure out what I want to do. If you don't want to learn the guitar, you don't. You don't want to learn how to type properly, don't. You don't want your job to, you don't want your letter to be corrected, okay, don't.
Yeah.
Fine. But what's going to happen to us as human beings in society? And I know I can hear people saying, yeah, but my boss is a jerk and he's so mean to me and he's super critical. And, you know, sometimes we need to look to ourselves to know if we do the job properly.
Yeah.
Doing the job properly. I mean, y'all don't like criticism. I don't like it, but I sit down and I study the critique that I'm given. You know, I wish it was all perfect, everything that I do, but it's not. So I sit down. I'm still a teacher for learning and being instructed how to do breakthrough, the work that I do. And I'm critiqued and now I look forward to it. You know, when I first started, I was like, oh, I hope it's perfect. I hope it's all, I know it's not. And I get all nervous and now it's like, okay, I know it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I can feel that something's wrong with what I'm doing. So I'm curious to know what her perspective's going to be so that I can, you know, better do my job. That makes it all better. That makes it better for my clients. You know, when I'm listening to the questions of students, you know, it helps me refine how I see a particular card.
Yeah.
You know, I was called the prince, princess in the tarot deck, the juniors, just the junior version. But we were doing a Q&A study group, and I thought, you know what? Apprentice. Somebody brought up apprentice, and I thought, yeah, you know what? That really works. Now, I don't know if that's going to stay as a word that I use, but it is a really good word. They're the junior version. They have less experience. They have less wisdom. But within themselves, they are, you know, they're
great individuals, right?
Like a queen won't be necessarily a coquette or this flirtatious person, no matter what age, but the princess will be rather flirtatious.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because you can have a 20-year-old queen who's not flirtatious, and you can have a 20-year-old princess who is flirtatious. You can have an 80-year-old who's a princess and flirtatious, and a 20-year-old who's a queen, and you put the two together, and one is, you know, flirtatious, and the other one isn't. So age doesn't matter. It's really the version that is a little different. So we bring up more qualities of it, but it's almost like an apprentice of mastering. Though they may never, the only problem I don't like with the word apprentice is it means that I'm one day going to be the queen. No, if the significator card is I am the princess, likely I will remain a princess. Unless I do a reading and somebody comes out a princess and they're supposed to be the queen. That happens often. So let's say if somebody's stuck in resentment and I see that they're supposed to be the queen, you know that they have to get through that resentment so that they actually become the queen. And of course, each suit is going to vary what kind of person it is. But if I'm talking about resentment, likely the princess of fire would come up and they need to, you know, master. And the queen would show itself. But if she doesn't show herself, if the queen doesn't show herself, then the princess is sort of a continuous significator card throughout the reading, they're not going to grow out of being a princess. That's the energy of this lifetime.
Mm.
Right? That's the energy. It's so interesting now that I'm talking about this, I'm thinking, hey, I would have liked to have the princess, you know, as I'm talking about flirtation. You know, I just never had it. I never had that. Flirtatiousness. It just didn't come up for me. It was always from very young that it was the queen, you know, and I kind of didn't like it. You know, why am I not? Also, when all my friends in our teen years wanted to grow up and be 20 years old, etc., I was always like, no, I never want to grow up. Never. And my wish... I wish on in my birthday when I was 16, I really sat there and wished hard. I never want to get older than 16. And that was my birthday wish. Yeah. And you can see very childlike kind of wishing, right?
Mm.
And, you know, in a way that's true. You know, when I'm in myself, I don't feel like I'm 20. I don't feel like I'm 28, 30, 40. I always feel like I'm 16. I don't feel like I really, you know, moved from that kind of energy. But it's fascinating. It really is fascinating to kind of look at these things and see it. This is where it gets complex, guys, you know, all of you listening. But what I'm trying to point out is that, you know, using stories and seeing the themes of our lives, you know, this is critical to reading. You can't just memorize the cards and not understand the overriding, you know. And I think it really deepens the work, and it requires less memorization, you know.
Myths.
If you don't have time to read and just listen to little animated cartoons of Rapunzel and, you know, Snow White. Just so many things online. I did a whole period of listening to all of them in different versions on YouTube for a really long time as I was teaching fairy tales and the tarot to help deepen. So I mentioned that one of the difficulties is people try to use cards to represent the characters of the story. No, you have to look at the overall theme and which stands out to you and see what the journey is. So Pinocchio, I haven't said it yet, but if you figured it out, Pinocchio would be the fool, right? Mm. So his first actions are naive,
ignorant,
and slowly, you know, he comes to wisdom, but he has to go through the journey of the major arcana. Yeah. You know, there's so many different parts. So you can sit around and play with that and see where the major arcana go. And if you all do that, I'd love to hear your feedback on, you know, playing around with a fairy tale. How was it fun? You know, was it interesting? What did you notice? You know, what was difficult for you? It could be really easy. Not easy, but really nice.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I think I've talked to myself to
We've touched on a lot of topics.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep going. A lot of stories to parallel to your life, to parallel to, you know, depending on what theme. You know, I brought up a lot of business stuff, you know.
Ignorance.
Not knowing.
Yeah.
Being victim, which is Adam and Eve. Resentment. You know, the people around you. Seeking you. Forgiving you. You know, I'm not saying that
picked on,
but I really find it weird that someone would be picked on. Like, why would someone be picked on? You know, why would you, and you know, we tend to really demonize the other, but we don't realize that there's something within us that draws it from the other.
Yeah.
So if I look at myself, then I'm not going to be, you know, so picked on. Right?
Yep.
And maybe like God critiquing Cain, you know, maybe those criticisms are something that we need to look at.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. But jumping to a conclusion and saying, oh, you know, the world hates me and blah, blah, blah. Well, who are you talking to and telling that the world hates you when you're sitting there with somebody who's, you know, listening to you?
Mm.
It's really finding out whether something is imagined or something is real.
Yeah.
And that's for the individual to realize, right? For the individual to sort through. Because you can have a life where you're critiqued throughout.
Yes,
it can happen. But now what's my responsibility in this? You know, is there something that the universe is trying to tell me about myself?
Yeah.
Is there something the universe is communicating to me that I need to look in and see what's going on? Okay, so I'm not making a blanket statement. Please, you know, those of you listening, I'm sure this topic can be very triggering, but we, you know, the only way I could really get a handle on my life is if I'm taking responsibility for what's going on.
Mm.
You know, I was that bullied kid in school, and you know, there, when I would sit in victim mode, it got worse. But when I took myself out of victim mode and started seeing, kind of like turning the camera on myself, everything changed. Everything changed for me.
Yeah. Everything changes.
Yeah. You know, they are. I look back and I realize they're not, that what people were saying was not as bad as I thought it was when I was a kid.
Mm.
Here are the words they were saying.
And it's just.
It's just a comment. But I took it as. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if a kid says, oh, you're fat.
Yeah.
As
I thought it was mean.
But now as an adult, you're fat. I'm like, yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
just
clear
a fact. Yeah.
You know. When you're trying not to be fat and you're fat and you're trying to lose weight and you're going through all this process, well, it's my issue. You know. Yeah.
That
like, okay. Sure, yeah. It's like saying you're tall.
Yeah.
But people who are, you know, people who are told they're tall, like, you know, the big joke in my day was, how's the weather up there? Is it raining?
Oh, yeah.
You know? But if you say you're short,
upsetting.
When why is it upsetting to say you're tall?
Yeah. Well, it is sometimes. I met someone who was triggered by the fact they were too tall. Very interesting.
Too tall.
Mm.
There you go. So right away, too tall.
Mm.
Like, what is too tall? Doesn't make sense, right?
No.
How can you be too tall or too short? You can be too short for a ride at a
yes, Luna that's park. Frustrating.
You could be too tall for a doorway, but personally, you can't be too tall or too short. You just can't be. But the minute you're commented on, it's all about you. It has nothing to do with the other. Yeah. So, you know, other kids would say, you run too slow to someone. And of course, the guy, you know, especially if it was guys, they'd run.
Yeah.
When you think of boys playing, well, for me, it was my brother and his friends playing baseball. Oh my God, the criticisms they would have for each other to throw each other off, you know, and they would laugh and but they didn't walk around saying they were bullied.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't say anything. Yeah. But you know, if you stutter, if you and you say you're gross, well, you're not being bullied, that's gross.
Mm.
But we saw it as bullying. That's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. That doesn't mean there aren't real incidents of bullying, but, you know, there can be a child or a couple of children who are really bad, but it's really looking and seeing, you know, what's my role in all of this?
Hmm.
Probably girls are the worst. I don't know. I don't know. But it's something to look at within oneself to help you out. I'm not an expert in this topic. Or anything like that, but I have had experience in seeing it, see it transform. And I've seen many people who think they're bullied and really when you look directly at them and you see what's going on, it's like, yeah, but I want to do it to you right now. I've had that feeling. Like somebody who's so pushy and so whiny and so insistent that they are correct about everything and you can't get a word in edgewise. And then you just want to go, okay, stop it. And then they accuse you of bullying. It's like, geez, you know, there's that you need to look at within yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if somebody thinks I'm pushy. It's like, okay, just tell me to stop.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, your energy is really big. You're really noisy. Okay. Move away. Or, you know, do something to take care of yourself. I don't mind at all. You don't want to keep hanging out with me. I'm happy with that. I'm not so much that way now, but I used to be. And I know it could be very overbearing.
Yeah.
You know, it could be very boisterous. It could be, but we don't look at ourselves. You know, for me, it was like, okay, I am doing this, but I often didn't care. There's another problem. I didn't mind if everybody moved away. It's like, oh, finally, everybody's gone. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
But I had other things going on, and we're not going to get into it because we're coming up to our hour.
Yeah.
say goodbye to everyone. I hope you thought that was interesting. But for me, that was super fascinating. I need to go back and take it in it. All right, Eloise, I love you. Have a great day. And I will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.